Good morning, and great if we can just start with that video clip that's lined up. Thank you.
Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
Hosanna to the Son of David. Crucify him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Crucify him. Hosanna in the highest heaven. His blood is on us and on our children. What I have to bring you this morning is not a sermon, at least not a sermon as such. It's more of an invitation to listen. To listen not so much to my words this morning, but to what God might want to say to you during this Easter week. What comes might perhaps be not quite what's expected. What I'm sharing this morning stems more out of a stirring from deep inside me than from a carefully crafted reflection in my mind. That might perhaps be not quite what's expected. My words haven't so much been informed by commentaries as inspired by one of the sessions we had at college this past week, led by the Reverend Haley Young. That might perhaps be not quite what's expected. And she, as the first regional minister in her early 30s within the Baptist Union, is also perhaps not quite what's expected. Do Google her after the service. She's a remarkable woman and minister. And as I speak to you today from the church building here at NMBC, I have just this one slide. It's perhaps not quite what's expected. But just as the city of Jerusalem was stirred as Jesus entered on that Palm Sunday, the Sunday before the Passover festival, so my soul has been stirred and challenged by these passages from Matthew 21 and Matthew 27 that we've watched and we've listened to this morning. And my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will stir us all this morning, will challenge and will encourage our hearts, albeit perhaps not quite in the way that we might expect. Because if you've got your Bibles open in front of you, and it might be good to do that together now, there's plenty in the passage at the start of Matthew 21, that first video that we watched at the very beginning of the service, which, although it is a familiar passage, is perhaps not quite what's expected. There's Jesus on a donkey. And this is the only recorded occasion in the Gospels when Jesus rides rather than walks. And even then, despite Zechariah's prophecy, which is recorded in the passage, it's perhaps not quite the means of transport really expected by the people of Israel for their coming messianic king. Jesus rides not a horse-drawn chariot, nor even just a horse on its own, but a colt, the foal of a donkey, a lowly animal, and a humble animal. And then there's the welcome, there's the shouting of Hosanna, the palm branches waving, the cloak spread on the floor. That is indeed a welcome fit for a king. But it's perhaps not quite what's expected for a carpenter's son from Nazareth in Galilee. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Nathanael had asked when Philip told him that Jesus was the one written about by Moses and the prophets. Who is this? This unexpected king, the city of Jerusalem asks. A king foretold in the Jewish scriptures, perhaps, but a confusing one, so it seems, to the majority of the people. This was an unexpected kind of welcome for an unexpected kind of king coming in an unexpected kind of way. And the whole city was stirred by his arrival. But as we jump from the events of Matthew 21 to those of Matthew 27 a week later, what was to follow was perhaps even more unexpected. Within a few days, the jubilation and joyous shouts of the crowd who accompanied Jesus into Jerusalem had become the jeers and condemning cries of the crowd who pushed for his crucifixion. Hosanna to the Son of David! Crucify him! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Crucify him! Hosanna in the highest heaven. His blood is on us and on our children. Who goes free? Asks Pilate in Matthew 27, verse 17. Jesus, who is called the Messiah, or Barabbas, the insurrectionist and murderer? The crowd's answer, Barabbas, is perhaps not quite what's expected. Pilate, knowing that Jesus has committed no crime, seems somewhat surprised. And as we read about and reflect on these somewhat unexpected events of the Passover week in first century Jerusalem, as we chew over these differing reactions to Jesus, the Messiah, it's perhaps easy for us too to be surprised. Or at least to think that we're surprised. Because the thing that surprised me most, however, on Tuesday of this week, was that the Holy Spirit used these passages to reveal to me the darkness and the lack of faithfulness within my own heart. Because I quite often find myself in that crowd on Palm Sunday, following Jesus along toward Jerusalem. I'm happy to welcome the coming King. I'm ready to shout, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. It's quite often what I do. Praising Jesus, either privately in my own quiet time or here in public, leading worship or preaching. But the Holy Spirit has reminded me that I'm also far too easily tempted to join the crowd standing in front of Pilate, baying for Jesus' blood. Crucify him. Crucify him. His blood is on us and on our children. Sadly, and to be honest, shamefully, this is effectively what I quite often do. As I grump and grouch at my kids, as I put myself first and God second in my everyday choices, as I make my own judgments of people and of situations where I have no right to judge. It's perhaps not quite what's expected of a minister in training. Hosanna to the Son of David, crucify him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, crucify him. My own heart, as fickle as the Jerusalem crowds. Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Peter's response to Jesus when Jesus calls him to be his disciple. And a cry that I myself recognize, a cry of my own heart, as Jesus calls me too to be his disciple. Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. But thankfully, Jesus doesn't go away. Jesus takes his followers with him into Jerusalem, into the upper room, into Gethsemane, and to the foot of the cross. And there they stand, looking up at him, together with the soldiers who crucify him. And he takes me there with him too. So here I stand, at the foot of the cross. Hosanna to the Son of David, crucify him. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, crucify him. Hosanna in the highest heaven, his blood is on us and on our children. But then he speaks, and it's perhaps not quite what's expected. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Compassion and forgiveness for those who take his life away. It's perhaps not quite what's expected. And yet, as he hangs there on the cross, as he gasps for his final breaths, as he looks down on those below, it's what he says. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgiveness is not what I deserve. And yet through Jesus' death on the cross, it is what is available to me. Father, forgive me, even though all too often I know exactly what I'm doing. And so here we stand, yes, on Palm Sunday, yes, with Good Friday still 5 days away, but nevertheless at the foot of the cross with Jesus looking down on us. A couple of weeks ago, someone asked me to reflect on a question. It was perhaps not quite what I'd expected. The question was this. What would God say if he looked at you? What would God say if he looked at you? So I asked the question. I listened, I reflected, and I heard God speak. Not audibly, but into my heart. And I was both encouraged and challenged. And like the city of Jerusalem, I too was stirred. So now I ask you and leave you with that same question. What would God say if he looked at you? Don't try to answer the question immediately. Take it away, and perhaps, if possible, at some point over the course of this Easter week, go for a walk on your own or try to find a moment of quiet in your favorite chair. Ask the question and reflect and listen. And listen and reflect, not in condemnation, but listen and reflect with peace. Reflect not weighed down by guilt, but reflect in freedom. Reflect knowing that the price has already been paid. It is finished. But take time to ask the question and to listen carefully for what his answer is. What would God say if he looked at you? I know his words would include these three. I love you. I love you. But there'll quite possibly be more. Because we believe in a God who created us, a God who comes to be with us, to rescue us, to die for us, to be raised to life that we also may live. And a God who speaks to us. So this Easter week, listen carefully for God's voice. Perhaps he has something to say that might not be quite what you expect. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you are a God who knows no limits. You're a God that we can't completely comprehend or understand. You're a God who can't be put in a box, but you are a God of surprises. You're a God of the unexpected, a God who is so much bigger, so much greater, more powerful, more loving, and more forgiving than we can possibly imagine. We ask for forgiveness when our attitude towards you changes like that of the Jerusalem crowd. But we thank you that you are not a distant God, but a God who speaks, a God who takes time and trouble for each and every one of us personally, a God who wants good things for us, and a God who wants us to listen for your voice. Help us to do that. Help us to do that amidst all that goes on around, despite all that there is to do, amongst the priorities that we often find ourselves juggling. May you, our loving Heavenly Father, be our one true priority. May we seek you with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. And may we make ourselves available to follow your call to be your disciples, to take up our own cross, to follow your example, and to come time and time again to the foot of your cross. God, we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give ourselves to you today, this Easter week and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.